الحمد لله الحمد لله رب العالمين الذي خلق الأفلاك والأرضين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين وعلى من تبعهم إلى يوم الدين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم أولئك الذين اشتروا الضلالة بالهدى فما ربحت تجارتهم وما كانوا مهتدين صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الأمين الكريم. What do you remember from last lesson, Oleth?
We studied the verses on the non-believers, and then after that we went through the verses on the hypocrites. And we talked about the different categories of kufra and hypocrites.
Very good. Hafisa, what did we learn about the munafiqin?
The Quran says that there will be some people who say that they believe in Allah, but in reality they don't believe. And we also learned that they say that they are mocking Allah, but in reality Allah does istihza with them.
They thought that they were deceiving Allah, and they thought that they were deceiving the believers. But the truth in reality is that they are deceiving none other but themselves. They cannot deceive Allah because Allah is the knower of all. We also learned that these munafiqeen, they used to come to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they used to perform salah behind the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they also used to go to the war, and they used to fight side by side with the Muslims. Yet they were not believers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that they were not believers. And we also learned that Sayyiduna Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala said that in the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, we differentiated between the Muslims, the Kafirs and the Munafiqs. However, after the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, we only say that these people are kafir or these people are Muslims. Munafiq, we don't use that word anymore. However, the ulama-i kiram, they explained this and they said that there are two types of munafiq. A munafiq-i mujahir, whose nifaq, whose hypocrisy is apparent. They still remain today. And we will still use the word munafiq for such people. And the other type is munafiq ghayr-i mujahir. A munafiq whose hypocrisy is not apparent. We cannot see it. It's hidden. And such a munafiq, we do not label somebody as such today. Okay? Because we can only know when it becomes apparent. And if it's not become apparent, then we don't know. And that's who Imam Sayyiduna Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala referred to, that from now there are no munafiq. Meaning there are no munafiqe ghayr mujahid. Because we do not know of them. In the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he made us aware of them. We also learned that these people, when they used to come in front of the Sahaba-i Kiram, they used to say to them, we believe in the same way as you believe. However, when they used to be with their own people, they used to say that we are only having a laugh with them. We're mocking them. We're mocking them and we're mocking Allah and we're mocking Muhammad. Ma'azallah. May Allah protect from such. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replied that Allah is the one who replies to their mocking. Istihza, Allah is free from istihza. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is free from all types of faults and defects. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pure from all of that. And thus Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not commit mocking. Allah does not mock. Istihza is not from the shan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replies to their mocking. Because to mock somebody is a fault. It's a defect. Okay, it's an aib to mock somebody. It's not a good thing. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pure from everything that is not good. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that Allah replies to their mocking, وَيَمُدُّهُمْ فِي طُغْيَانِهِمْ يَعْمَهُونَ, and gives them leave. Lets them continue wandering in their blindness, in their misguidance. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Halim. He is the most patient. He lets people do what they wish with their own will, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prepared a punishment for them in the hereafter. Okay, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them leave until the day came when Allah ordered the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam to remove all the hypocrites, remove all the munafiqs from the group of the Muslims, which happened. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in regards to these people, كَأُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ اشْتَرَبُوا الضَّلَالَةَ بِالْهُدَىٰ, that these are people who buy misguidance instead of guidance. So they have guidance and they give that guidance away to buy misguidance. So it's a transaction. Okay? Now some Mufassireen said that this verse is in regards to the Jews and the Christians who believed in the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam when they were waiting for him. When they were waiting that the final messenger is yet to come, as is mentioned in their books, they believed that he will be the final messenger. He is the final messenger. But when the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam appeared from Makkatul Mukarramah, they rejected. So they had that guidance before, but instead of that guidance, they gave that guidance away and they bought misguidance instead of it. And the other Mufassireen Kiram say that this is regarding those people who accepted Islam and then they became apostates. They left Islam. Murtad. They did irtidad from Islam. They turned away from Islam. They preferred kufr after Islam. So it's regarding them people that they are those who are giving their guidance away for misguidance. And the majority of the Mufassireen Kiram say that this is in regards to the Munafiqeen. That when they came and they spoke the Kalima in front of the Muslims and they accepted that they believe through Iqrar by making apparent, then they received that bit of guidance, but their hearts had not believed. So that bit of guidance they had, they bought misguidance for it. They had the opportunity to accept Islam and enter Islam completely, but they did not. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in regards to all these people who received a bit of guidance, but they didn't accept. And there are some Mufassireen Ikram who have said that this is about those people whom had no messenger sent to them, meaning they received no news of a messenger being sent to them, yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed them signs of his existence. So it was compulsory for them to believe in one Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed them the signs of the nature being so organized that proved that Allah is one, yet they didn't accept it. They didn't take these signs. So all these people, they are those who exchange misguidance for guidance. Okay, they exchange their guidance that they possess for misguidance. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَمَا رَبِحَتْ تِجَارَتُهُمْ, their transaction gives them no benefit. The whole aim of business, merchandise, exchanging is to benefit. Okay, we benefit from it. That's a person who exchanges things and is a businessman. The whole point of him being a businessman is for him to make benefit. And if he doesn't benefit, then he's a poor businessman. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here is saying that these people, their transaction does not bring any benefit to them. وَمَا كَانُوا مُهْتَدِينَ, and thus they have no guidance in merchandise. They have no guidance in transactions. They are not good business people. They don't know how to do business. If somebody has something that benefits them and he gives that away in exchange of that which gives him nothing but loss, then that shows how weak he is in commerce. Theek hai? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَمَا رَبِحَتْ تِجَارَتُهُمْ وَمَا كَانُوا مُهْتَدِينَ, their transaction, their exchanging does not bring any benefit to them and they do not have any guidance in commerce. So from this we learn that guidance is the correct path. Guidance, being on the right path, that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us is what benefits us, and that which Allah has told us to stay away from, that which goes against the command of Allah and the rules of Allah and the words of Allah is misguidance, and that does not bring benefit to us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives a parable, an example of them. Allah says, مَثَلُهُمْ, their example, كَمَثَلِ الَّذِي اسْتَوْقَدَ نَارًا, is the example of those people who lit a fire. So when there's darkness and you light a fire, it gives you guidance because you can see through that light. So مَثَلُهُمْ كَمَثَلِ الَّذِي اسْتَوْقَدَ نَارًا, their example is the example of those who light a fire. فَلَمَّا أَضَاءَتْ مَا حَوْلَهُ ذَهَبَ اللَّهُ بِنُورِهِمْ وَتَرَكَهُمْ فِي ظُلُمَاتٍ لَا يُبْصِرُونَ. And when, because they lit that fire, because of lighting that fire, when those things which were around that light became bright, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took away that light. ذَهَبَ اللَّهُ بِنُورِهِمْ, Allah took away that nur, that light. وَتَرَكَهُمْ, and left them, فِي ظُلُمَاتِ اللَّهِ يُبْصِرُونَ, in darkness, they couldn't see and understand anything. What does this mean? What this means is, when they said that they are believers, when the munafiqeen, they came to the Muslims, and they said, we are believers, we believe in Allah, أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَحْدَهُ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ وَأَشْهَدُ أَنَّ سَيِّدَنَا مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُهُ وَرَسُولُهُ. It was as though they lit a fire of guidance. And through that guidance, they could see. They could see what the truth was. However, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took away that light from them because of their intentions. Their intentions were to deceive. Allah took away that light from them and left them in darkness. And because they were left in darkness, they couldn't understand the truth. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, صُمٌّ بُكْمٌ عُمْيٌ فَهُمْ لَا يَرْجِعُونَ. They are deaf, dumb and blind, they will not return. They are deaf, dumb and blind, they will not return. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took away that light from them, took away that guidance from them. What would happen is the munafiqeen would come and they would live amongst the Muslims. And when they lived amongst the Muslims, and when the Muslims went to battle, and when they won, they received the booty of war. When they distributed that, they received wealth. When they had children, they believed that Islam was the true religion. And they felt inclined towards accepting Islam. When they heard the words of the Quran, they were inclined towards accepting Islam. They wanted to accept Islam. But as soon as they left the gatherings of the Muslims and they were amongst their non-Muslims, their non-believers, their group, they used to misguide them. They used to say, no, when you sit amongst them, when you sit with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, stick your fingers into your ears so you don't hear the words. Stick your fingers into your ears and sit in that manner so that the words of the Quran do not enter your ears. Because if you listen to the Quran, then you will feel inclined towards that being the word of Allah and accepting it. And thus, that is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. So they would light a fire, which would give them guidance, but then, because of their intentions and because of their destiny, not being of a Muslim's destiny, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would take away that light from them and leave them in darkness. صُمٌّ بُكْمٌ عُمْيٌ فَهُمْ لَا يَرْجِعُونَ. They are deaf, they are dumb, and they are blind. They will not return. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives another example. أَوْ كَصَيِّبٍ مِّنَ السَّمَاءِ فِيهِ ظُلُمَاتُ وَرَعْدُ وَبَرْقٌ. Or the example of these people is as of the rain that falls from the sky. And a very heavy rainfall. Sayyib is a very heavy rainfall. Sayyib. And in regards to this example, there's a shan-e-nuzul. Shan-e-nuzul meaning the reason of revelation. There's some of the mufassirin kiram have mentioned that once there were two munafiq who were sitting with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and at night they stood up and they walked away, and they were walking back to their people. And whilst they were walking back to their people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed a very heavy rainfall upon them. So if you look at this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, their example is of those upon whom a very heavy rainfall fell from the sky. Fihi zulumat, in it was darkness. So because it's dark, and when it starts raining, the clouds appear, and the clouds, they hide the moon, and when they hide the moon, it becomes dark. You can't see in the night. And they never used to have street lamps like we do. Okay? So when the clouds were there, the light of the moon was not apparent. And because the light of the moon was hidden, they couldn't see anything. Okay? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, with this rain came darkness. And with the darkness, there was the sound of thunder. Ra'ad means the sound of thunder. Wa barq, and barq means, the word barq today is also used for electricity. But here, it means lightning. Tika? Lightning. So with this rainfall comes darkness, thunder, and lightning. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَجْعَلُونَ أَصَابِعَهُمْ فِي آذَانِهِمْ. They would place their fingers, or they would enter their fingers, into their ears, مِنَ الصَّبَائِقِ حَذَرَ الْمَوْتِ. Due to the sound of the thunder, because they feared death. So these two munafiqs, these two hypocrites, they sat with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then they left. When they left, when they were travelling back, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this rainfall upon them. And it rained really heavily. And it became extremely dark. They couldn't see anything, so they stopped walking. Because they couldn't see anything, they stopped. And they stood in one place. And then the thunder came, which was so loud that they closed their ears. They put their fingers into their ears. Because they thought the sound of thunder was so loud that they thought that they would become deaf. The sound would affect their ears in such a manner that it would make them deaf. So they would stick their fingers into their ears. And then the lightning came. And when the lightning came, it was so bright that they would close their eyes. Because they thought that this brightness would make them blind. So they would close their eyes. So they'd be standing there, deaf, dumb and blind, not knowing what to do. And at that time, the narration says that they, in their minds, they thought that as soon as this goes away, in the morning, we will return to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we will give our hand into his hand, and we will tell him the truth, and we will accept Islam, and then we will live as servants of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam for the rest of our lives. They made this intention, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took away the rain, took away the lightning, and took away the thunder. And then in the morning they returned, and they gave their hand into the hand of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they accepted Islam, and they remained believers until they passed away. Okay? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, okay, they would stick their fingers into their ears because they feared death, hadr al-maut. And they would close their eyes because they feared becoming blind. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاللَّهُ مُحِيطٌ بِالْكَافِرِينَ. And Allah is muhit, which means Allah encompasses the kafirin, the non-believers. Which means that there is nothing they can do to hide from the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If Allah wishes, then Allah can make them deaf, even if they put their fingers into their ears. If Allah wishes, Allah can make them blind, even if they close their eyes. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that يَجْعَلُونَ أَصَابِعُهُمْ فِي آذَانِهِمْ مِنَ الصَّوَائِقِ حَذَرَ الْمَوْتِ. That due to the fear of death and the sound of thunder, they are putting their fingers into their ears. Allah encompasses the non-believers. Allah encompasses all of them. يَكَادُ الْبَرْقُ يَخْطَفُ أَبْصَارَهُمْ. It is near, and this is what I mentioned, it is near that the lightning takes away their eyesight. Okay? كُلَّمَا أَضَاءَ لَهُمْ مَشَوْ فِيهِ. Whenever it became slightly bright, they would walk. So when the lightning appeared at first, they could see and they would start walking. And then it would become so bright that they thought they would become blind. وَإِذَا أَظُلَمَ عَلَيْهِمْ قَامُوا. And as soon as it became dark again, they would stand still again. They wouldn't stop, they wouldn't walk. وَلَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ لَذَهَبَ بِسَمْعِهِمْ وَأَبْصَارِهِمْ. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can take away their hearing and their sight. إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. Verily Allah is powerful upon everything. And the word shay' here means everything that is possible for Allah. Okay? So, إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. Allah is powerful upon everything possible. Okay? That's what it means. So, from this example, comparing it with the incident of the two munafiqeen, we understand that they learnt a lesson and they came back and they accepted Islam. Okay? Although Mufassirin Ikram have said that this example is not only for them, but it is for all the munafiq, all the munafiqeen. And not only for them, it is also for all the non-Muslims, non-believers. What they say is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here in this example is saying that when the munafiqeen would come, or when the non-Muslims, the people, the kuffar of Makkah, when they used to come and sit amongst the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even they used to put their fingers into their ears so that the sound of the Quran would not enter their ears. Because the people of Makkah, they used to believe that the words the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam spoke, they were words of magic. And when they entered your ear, you would change in such a manner that you would reject the religion of your forefathers and you would accept Islam. And thus, whenever you stand there, you should stick your fingers into your ears. So the non-Muslims used to do that. And as soon as the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam stopped speaking, they would remove their fingers. And as soon as he started speaking again, they would place their fingers back into their ears. As for the munafiqeen, when the munafiqeen used to come, they used to put their fingers into their ears as well. And where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, كُلَّمَا أَضَاءَ لَهُمْ مَشَوْ فِيهِ, when it became bright, then they used to walk. What this means, according to some of Fasirin al-Kiram, according to this one interpretation, one tafsir, is that when they would see benefits in following the Muslims, when they would win the battles, receive the booty from the war, receive wealth, when they'd have children, when they'd have wealth, when they had all these things, they would see that Islam was the true religion, and they would start walking as Muslims. And as soon as something bad happened, when a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would come, they would see that as darkness, and they would stop following Islam. They'd say, no, it can't be the correct religion. Why is this happening? Tika? And we have some people amongst us, meaning in this world today, who are like this as well. Who are Muslims, but they have no knowledge. They are ignorant. And what they do is they will believe in Allah. And when they receive wealth, when they receive goodness, they will believe in Allah. They will thank Allah. They will pray to Allah. And as soon as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descends a test upon them, or brings a test to them and brings a calamity, a difficulty, just to test their belief, then they straight away give up in Allah. And they start saying things which are words of kufr. Like, is there nobody else that Allah could find to bring this calamity upon? Things like this. Okay? And they would start rejecting Allah. They do. There are ignorant people who live amongst us who do this. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from this. What we should learn is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will test the people. Okay? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests those who believe. And there's a hadith of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recorded in the Musnad of Imam Azam Abu Hanifa radiallahu ta'ala an, that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests those who are most beloved to Allah. And I am the most beloved to Allah, and thus Allah tests me more than anybody else. And that is the truth, that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was tested by Allah more than anybody else that has walked this earth. Okay? And after the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, from our ummah, Sayyiduna Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala was tested the most, and in the order of fadila and afdaliyah. Okay, so if somebody is tested by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is because they are beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you are tested in your life, if you are going through difficulty, it is a test from Allah. You should remain steadfast and you should pray to Allah that Allah gives you success in that test. So these people, they used to think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if they put their fingers into their ears, could not make them deaf. And to them, deaf, dumb and blind to these people, to the munafiqeen, deaf, dumb and blind, meant that they would become deaf if the words of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam made sense to them. Because they believed in either Judaism, because most of the hypocrites were Jews, and those that were non-believers, they were mushrikeen. They followed the religion of their forefathers. So they believed that to accept Islam was the same as death. Death. It was the same as death. It was like dying. Because you would reject the religion of your forefathers. And that is the same as dying to them. That was the same as dying to them. So to listen to the truth and fall for the words of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Quran was to them becoming deaf. And to see the Quran and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam as the truth to them was blindness. Okay? So that's why they used to close their eyes to protect themselves from becoming blind in such a manner. However, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that if Allah wills, لو شاء الله لذهب بسمعهم وأبصارهم. If Allah wills, then Allah can take away their hearing and their sight, even if they hide their ears or even if they hide their eyes. From this verse, the ulama-i-kiram, especially the ulama-i-kalam, the ulama of aqidah, they say that we learn that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not need to use any means in this world. If Allah wills, then Allah can take away the eyesight of anybody He wishes without using any means. Tika? If Allah wills, then Allah can make fire give coolness and make ice give heat. Okay? Allah is not bound by the means that Allah has created in this world. This world, as we heard before, is Alamul Asbab, the world of means. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not need any means to make an act occur. Okay, that's what this verse means. وَلَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ If Allah wills, then Allah can take away the hearing and the sight of anybody who He wishes. And then Allah says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ Verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is قَادِر, meaning powerful, upon everything. And the word شَيْء in the Arabic language means thing. Okay, it could be anything. Anything that exists is شَيْء. And the ulama kiram say that here in this verse specifically, the word shay specifically means that which is possible, that which is from amongst the mumkinat, possible for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because you have to bear in mind that there are things which are impossible for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are not worthy of being within the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, so they are outside the power of Allah. Why? Because they are not worthy of being within the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For example, Allah cannot lie. Allah cannot lie, because lying is a defect and lying is not worthy of being within the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the same way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cannot create another Allah. Okay? Because that is a defect. It is a fault. To have somebody equal to yourself is a fault. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is none equal to Him. And that is the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that is not worthy of being within the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? And for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to not exist, because Allah is wajibul wujud. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make Himself not exist anymore is also not worthy of being within the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? Does that make sense? The Devbandis, especially the Devbandis and the Wahhabis, in this they have become misguided. They said that إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ Verily Allah is powerful upon everything, which means Allah is powerful upon every single thing that you can think of. Allah can lie. Theek hai? And this is what they specifically wrote. Allah jhoot bol sakta hai. Allah can lie. And some of them have gone to the extent of said Allah has already lied. And some of them have said that Allah can lie but He will not lie. He won't lie. Theek hai? He can do it. He has the power to do it. But He will not. But according to us, the Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, to be able to do a fault is a defect for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is a fault. Allah is absolutely pure. Allah is Subhan. He is the pure. He is Saduq. He is the most truthful. If Allah is the most truthful, if it is absolutely impossible for Allah to lie. And if they use this verse to say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can lie because Allah is powerful upon everything, which means it's possible according to them, then that opens the door of all other defects and faults for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That means that in the Devbandi religion, in the Devbandi sect, according to their belief, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can run away from things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can commit zina. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can commit zulm. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can steal. And all these things would become possible if you were to believe in such. So for the Devbandis, all these things are possible. According to the Devbandis, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can create another Allah. So that would completely destroy our religion. And according to them, according to their philosophy, according to the philosophy of the Devbandis, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cannot exist if he wants, because he has the power to make himself not exist anymore, because he has the power to do everything. There is nothing that is not within the power of Allah, according to the Devbandis. Okay, we don't believe this. What we believe is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is powerful upon everything possible. And everything possible means that which is according to the shan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, everything that is pure, everything that is free from faults and defects, that is all possible for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inna Allah ala kulli shayin qadir. That's what this verse means. After this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of the people. Ya yuhannas. And according to the Mufassireen, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says Ya ayyuhannas, it is generally for the people of Makkah. Okay? And that would indicate that this verse was revealed in Makkatul Mukarramah before Hijrah. Yani it is a Makki verse. Okay? However, here Ya ayyuhannas is not used for the people of Makkah. This is used for everybody. For the believers, for the non-believers, for the munafiqeen, for all those that exist. For all the people that Allah has created. Ya ayyuhannas. Okay, and as I said, that this generally is used for the people of Makkah, for before Hijrah. And what's used for after Hijrah is Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu. All those who believe. And when Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu is used, it generally means that verse is after Hijrah. It is a Madani verse. But this is an exception from amongst that general rule. Ya ayyuhannas, all the people. And the word nas for humans is used, and the word nas can come from two different roots. One is from uns. Uns means to care for each other, to have affection for each other, to have love for each other. Unsiyat rakhna. And that's the root word for insan, for nas, for humans. Because humans naturally have affection, they care for each other, they have love for each other. Okay? That's one opinion. The other opinion is that it's from the word nisyan. Nisyan is to forget, to be forgetful. Okay? And it refers back to the incident of the fruit that Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam ate from Jannah. Okay, or Sayyida Hawa radiallahu anha ate, and Adam alayhi salam did not. Okay, different narrations. So nisyan, if it is from the word nisyan, then it means humans naturally are forgetful. Okay, we forget things, we make mistakes, and that's the reason why there is a hadith where the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, "Rufiya an ummati an nisyan," meaning when an ummati of mine, by forgetfulness, makes a mistake, then that has been forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? So if you forget, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is most forgiving in that case. Okay? And that is simply because it is within the nature of humans to be forgetful. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhannas, O people, U'budu rabbakum, worship your Lord. Ya yuhannas u'budu rabbakum. And this is fairly amr, so it's u'budu. Okay, and the alif is dropped when it's joined with the word prior to it. So if you pray it from Ya yuhannas, it's Ya yuhannas u'budu. But if you separate it, then it's Ya yuhannas u'budu. So Ya yuhannas u'budu rabbakum alladhi khalaqakum. All the people, Worship your Lord, the one who created you. Alladhi khalaqakum. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here is showing His authority. He's showing who He is to you. He is the one who created you. And if Allah is the one who created you, then He is the only one worthy of your worship. So if you wish to worship, then you should only worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for He is the one who created you. He is the one who gave you existence. So Ya ayyuhan nas, all the people, worship your Lord, for He is the one who created you. Alladhi means because He is the one who created you. Walladhina min qablikum, and He is the one who created those before you. Theek hai? Yani Allah is the one who created you, so you must worship Allah. And if somebody thinks that okay, Allah created us, so we should worship Allah, but our forefathers, they were also correct because somebody else created them and they are worshipping them, or they worship them. So the answer to them is that وَالَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ, Allah didn't only create you, Allah created those who were before you as well. So not only you, they were also supposed to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but they didn't. Doesn't mean that you must also remain misguided. You must also come towards, you must come towards guidance. Theek hai? And our worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not give us any benefit to Allah. The benefit is لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, so that you become muttaqi, you become pious, you gain taqwa, you attain taqwa, you become God fearing. The benefit is for you. Allah does not benefit from our worship. When we worship Allah, Allah does not receive any benefit from it. Allah is free from that. If there is benefit, it is for us. So we are the ones who worship Allah, yet we are the ones who receive the benefit for it. So all the people, worship your Lord who created you and who created those that were before you. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, you may become God-fearing. So, not only Allah created those who were present and who are present today, Allah created all the people from the past. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has shown to us whom Allah is to the people and the authority that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala holds amongst the people. Allah is the one who gave us existence and gave existence to those who were before us. And thus that means that if He is the one who gave us this existence, then we must all worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is our master and He is the only one worthy of worship. And ibadah means extreme respect, and to give respect to somebody to its highest limits. Take care. To respect somebody in such a manner that there is no higher level of respect for them. That is what is known as worship. Believing them to be worthy of worship and ibadah. Okay? And that's what abd. And the word abd in the English language is translated as slave. Servant, and a stronger translation is slave. Tika, to show more devotion to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the word slave. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after establishing the fact that He is the one who gave us existence, He is the one who created all of us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then gives us signs of His existence. Says, أَلَّذِي جَعَلَ لَكُمُ الْأَرْضَ فِرَاشًا. He is the one who made the earth. Ard is the earth. He is the one who made the earth a place for walking on. A place to walk on. Firash is a farsh. Farsh is like a carpet. Okay, so Allah has made this earth like a carpet for us. And thus, we should worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for He is the one who made, who created this earth for us. وَالسَّمَاءَ بِنَاءَ, and He is the one who created the sky as a canopy for us. Take care, as a roof for us. وَأَنْزَلَ مِنَ السَّمَاءَ, and revealed from the sky. Anzala means nazil kiya, to bring down, to descend. And He is the one who revealed water. Ma means water. And he is the one who revealed water from the sky, مِنَ السَّمَاءِ فَأَخْرَجَ بِهِ مِنَ الثَّمَرَاتِ رِزْقًا لَكُمْ, and from the earth, after bringing water down onto it, he removed, meaning he extracted from the earth, fruits. ثَمَرَات means fruits, and it also means vegetables. For us, as a provision. رِزْقًا لَكُمْ, as a provision for us, for you. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking to us, saying, for you. فَلَا تَجْعَلُوا لِلَّهِ أَنْدَادًا وَأَنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. And thus, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who created you, created the people before you, He is the one who made this earth a place for you to stay on, and He is the one who revealed the water from the skies so that He can extract and remove vegetation and fruits for you from the earth through trees and plants as a provision for you, then فَلَا تَجْعَلُوا لِلَّهِ أَنْدَادًا, then do not make partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do not worship anyone other than Allah. وَأَنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ, now that you know. وَأَنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ means on purpose, even though you know. So now that you know, don't do it on purpose. Because when you do something after knowing it, then it's on purpose. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَلَا تَجْعَلُوا لِلَّهِ أَنْدَادًا, do not make any partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on purpose. Tika? The people of Makkah, they knew that Allah was one, and He was the only one worthy of worship. Yet they used to worship these idols as well. And the reason why they used to do it on purpose is because they did not want to leave the religion of their forefathers. In this verse, we learn, one of the things we learn is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that Allah has made the earth a place for us to stay. So this tells us that it is the earth that Allah has made for us to stay on. So we should not try to go out and find another place to stay somewhere else in the universe. Tika? We don't need to try and make life on the moon or on another planet, on Mars. Tika? We don't need to make any hotels there for people to stay, because Allah has made the earth as a farsh for the humans. And there's another verse that's coming later on where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that it is the earth that Allah has, with emphasis Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, it is the earth that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descended Hazrat Adam alayhi salam upon and Sayyidah Hawa, and it's the earth that Allah has placed provision for the people for a certain period of time. Tika? So after that certain period of time will be the Day of Judgment, and then Jannat and Dozakh. So from this verse we learn that it is the earth that Allah has made for us to stay in. Other than that, this verse is one of the verses that Sayyidina Bishr Hafi radiallahu ta'ala used to explain why he never used to wear any shoes or sandals. Sayyidina Bishr Hafi radiallahu ta'ala is a great saint of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who used to, before he accepted the guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he used to be an alcoholic. He used to be an alcoholic. Theka? And he used to drink excessive alcohol every day. And up to the extent that he used to run a factory of alcohol. Theka? He used to make his own alcohol. And he used to produce alcohol, and he would be drunk every night when he'd go home. And once when he was going home, he stumbled because there was a ditch of water, and he fell, and his face fell into this piece of stone or leather or paper. He doesn't mention what it was, but it was a thing which had the name of Allah written on it. So Bishr, although he was drunk, he picked it up and he cleaned it. And he says that I am so filthy and dirty, full of sins, that I should be in that dirty place, in this ditch. And oh Allah, you are pure and you are clean and you are so honorable that your name should be kept in a clean and high manner, in a high place. So he cleans it and he takes it home with him and he puts it in a high place to show that he respects Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the name of Allah. In the morning, the Qutb of that time is knocking on the door of Sayyidina Bishr. And he knocks on the door of Sayyidina Bishr, and the servant of Sayyidina Bishr opens the door, and he sees the Qutb of the time and he's shocked. And the Qutb says that I have come to see Bishr. So he rushes to Bishr and Bishr comes out onto the door and he says, Hazrat, what are you doing here to the house of such a sinful person like me? And this Qutb says that Allah has sent me to your door to make you an offer. And the offer is that repent now from your sins and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you the status of wilayah. Simply because of that one act he carried out the night before, cleaning the name of Allah. So through that one act, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave all his sins. He became a wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He became a saint of Allah. And he was such a great saint. He never used to wear shoes and he never used to wear any sandals. And he used to walk barefooted all the time. And that's the reason why he's known as Bishr Hafi. Because Hafi means barefooted. Hafi al-Qadamain. Okay? So he used to walk barefooted. And whenever somebody used to ask him that why do you not wear shoes, because there could be impurity on the earth, on the floor, on the ground, that he would say this, الَّذِي جَعَلَ لَكُمُ الْأَرْضَ فِرَاشًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made this earth a farsh, a carpet for us to walk on. So if Allah has made this a farsh, then how can I wear shoes on it? And thus he never used to wear shoes. And he used to walk barefooted. Once, when he was going to the masjid, the people had poured water and sand into the pathway. And the reason why they did this is so that Bishr would walk onto that mud, and when he walked onto it, his feet would become dirty and he would realize the importance of wearing shoes and sandals. So Bishr Hafi radiallahu ta'ala is walking towards the masjid, and the people have set this trap for him and they are watching and observing. And Bishr Hafi radiallahu ta'ala walks on this mud, and whilst he's walking on it, the people are looking at his feet, and they can see when his feet lifted, they could see the underneath of his feet, and they would see that it's still clean, it's not dirty, up to the extent that he walks all the way past this mud, and the people look at his feet and they can see that his feet are still clean. Shocked and amazed at this, they all start speaking to each other that how is that possible. And then a sound from the unseen comes, and the sound says that Bishr has cleaned his heart for me, and thus I have cleaned his feet for himself. Theeka? So that is how much he was beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that is how much Allah was beloved to Sayyidina Bishr Hafi radiallahu ta'ala an. Now Bishr Hafi radiallahu ta'ala, what happens is once there was a poor person, a beggar, sitting in the shade of a tree, and he, from a far away, from in a very distant place, he could see something, an animal urinating on the ground. But he didn't believe it, so he asks another person to confirm. So he calls upon a person who's walking past and he says, can you tell me what that is? And the person looks just to make sure it's, just to have it confirmed. The person looks and he says that I can see a dog urinating. And he says, where is he urinating? He said, just on the earth. So he says, إِنَّ لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. Bishr Hafi has passed away. Theeka? So this was the belief of the Awliya-i-Kiram, and this beggar apparently looked like a beggar, was one of the Awliya-i-Kiram. And he saw that a dog was urinating on the earth. So from that he was trying to say that whilst Bishr Hafi was walking this earth barefooted, no animal would urinate on the earth like that. But now that he can see a dog urinating like that on the earth, he says that means that Bishr Hafi has passed away. Theeka? That's how great a wali of Allah Bishr Hafi was. But Bishr Hafi used this verse, الَّذِي جَعَلَ لَكُمُ الْأَرْضَ فِرَاشًا. That because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made this earth a farsh for us, then we must not walk on it with shoes. However, this was his Sufism, this was his taqwa, this was his love, this was his deepness in love with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But as far as the Sharia is concerned, it is sunnah to wear shoes, it is sunnah to wear sandals. Okay, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, preferred and emphasized people to wear shoes because they protect their feet. It protects your feet. Okay? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after mentioning the signs of taqwa, the believers, and then the non-Muslims, and then the munafiqeen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now speaks to all the people collectively, Ya Yuhannas, all the people, and calls everybody towards the signs of Allah, that He is the one who has revealed this water from the sky and set this system to grow crops and to grow vegetation and food. And all this system has been put there by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He is only one. And thus, there is no reason for you to make partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and worship anyone other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِن كُنْتُمْ, and if you, فِي رَيْبٍ, and if you are in any doubt, مِمَّا نَزَّلْنَا عَلَىٰ عَبْدِنَا, if you have any doubt with that which we have revealed upon our servant. And here the word abd is specifically for the best of all servants of Allah, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So if you have any doubt in that which we have revealed upon our servant Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, fa'tu bi suratin min mithlih, then bring one surah, one chapter, min mithlihi, from its example, meaning from the verse, from the surahs of the Quran, bring an example of that. Just one surah. If you doubt that these are the words of Allah and all these chapters have been revealed upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam from Allah, if you have any doubt in that, then bring one surah which can be an example of the chapters of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and this is a challenge from Allah. This is a challenge from Allah. وَدْعُوا شُهَدَاءَكُمْ, and bring all of your helpers. And the word shuhada is the plural of shahid, and here shahid means helper. So bring all of your helpers, مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ, other than Allah. So leaving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala out of this, all the others that you believe in, because remember the people of Makkah believed in Allah. So other than Allah, bring all of your helpers, meaning bring all of your idols, bring all of your masters in poetry, bring all of your masters in language, bring everybody and all of you together as mankind, bring one surah in example to the chapters of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's revelation. In kuntum sadiqeen, if you are truthful. And the shani nuzul, the reason for revelation of this verse, in Makkatul Mukarramah, when the people of Makkah, they rejected that these verses are the verses of Allah, they said that these verses are not the verses of Allah, these are the verses that Muhammad has made up himself. Tika, he has made up himself. Some people said that, but that was rejected because Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had not learned how to read and write in their eyes. In their eyes, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had not been taught by any man. And thus he was labelled as Ummi. So when some people said that, it was rejected through this. That how can Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bring such words himself when he has not been taught how to read and write? He is an Ummi. So that was rejected. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to them, that leave everything and bring all of your helpers, bring your idols, invoke to your idols, call upon them and tell them to bring a chapter in example of the chapters of the Quran that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed. If you are truthful in saying that these are not the words of Allah and these are words from somebody else, another creation of Allah. And this challenge was put out to the Jews, the Christians, the non-believers, every single body. Okay? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَإِلَّمْ تَفْعَلُوا, and if you cannot do this, if you do not do this, and Allah says, وَلَنْ تَفْعَلُوا, and you will never be able to do this. Because this is the beauty of the Quran, the language of the Quran. فَإِلَّمْ تَفْعَلُوا وَلَنْ تَفْعَلُوا فَاتَّقُوا النَّارَ الَّتِي وَقُودُهَا النَّاسُ وَالْحِجَارَةُ. So, if you do not do this, if you cannot bring a chapter equivalent to the chapters of the Quran, and Allah says, if you cannot do this, and you will never be able to do this. So Allah is giving a challenge and giving the result of the challenge as well at the same time. If you don't do this and you will never be able to do this, then fear the fire that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created. وَقُودُهَا النَّاسُ وَالْحِجَارَةِ The fire whose fuel, yani the fire which is fueled through humans and stone. Take care. Fear the fire which is fueled through humans and stone. So this fire is the fire of Jahannam. Meaning this fire is so severe and so hot that the fuel that lights and keeps this fire going is not paper, it's not leaves, it's not material, soft material, but it is stone that keeps this fire going. And it is humans that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will use as fuel in the fire of hell. أُعِدَّتْ لِلْكَافِرِينَ It has been prepared for the kuffar, for the non-believers. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here is saying that this is a challenge from Allah. Bring a surah, and if you cannot do this and you will never be able to do this, then you should fear that fire in which Allah will throw humans and Allah will keep this fire going through stones. Tika? U'iddat lil kafirin. And u'iddat is a fa'il madi, is a past tense verb, a verb which indicates past tense, which means that Jahannam has already been created. Jahannam has already been prepared. U'iddat lil kafirin, it has already been prepared. And who has it been prepared for? The kafirin, for the non-Muslims, meaning those people who died without iman. This also tells us that the Muslims, Jahannam has not been prepared for the Muslims, and Muslims will not remain in the fire of hell forever, because it is for the non-Muslims.
You know that they made this Quran thing, you know, and they said that it's like the Quran. Have you heard of that? The Furqan. So it basically is in Arabic, yeah, and they say it's like the Quran. So what do we say to that?
What we say to that is, first of all, the challenge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put out here is that bring an example of the Quran. Take care? An example, something equivalent to the verses of the Quran in the level of language, the level of grammar, the level of poetry it's using, and the level of information it gives from the unseen, and the level of information it gives about the future. Take care? And the fact is that nobody until today has been able to bring an example, anything equivalent to the Quran. Tika? And this Furqan, I've not seen it yet, but I'm sure the people of the Arab world, there are great ulama yet present in the Arab world who can show to the people that that is not an example of the Quran. Tika? There are examples of the people of Mecca where they brought verses that they made themselves in the Arabic language, bearing in mind that these people in them days used to call the whole world as Ajam, those without tongues, and they used to believe that we are the masters of the language, of the Arabic language, and their poetry until today is studied. Tika? Because their poetry until today is regarded as the highest form of poetry. People today cannot do poetry like that. Never mind bringing an example of the Quran, they can't bring an example of that poetry. They are still studying it today. Them people, they brought verses that they believed were equivalent to the Quran. But they weren't. Because the information that they provided was not information from the unseen. Or because the information they provided proved incorrect in the future. Tika? So it was proved wrong. And inshallah, next lesson, we will look more at this challenge that Allah has given. وَإِنْ كُنْتُمْ فِي رَيْبٍ مِمَّا نَزَّلْنَا عَلَىٰ عَبْدِنَا فَأْتُوا بِسُورَةٍ We'll look at this challenge and we'll look at some of the examples that occurred in the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and if possible, in regards to this Furqan named by them. Furqan means the distinguisher between the truth and false. Okay, and the only distinguisher between the truth and false is the Quran. Theek hai? And the Quran has a name. For example, bringing an example of the Quran. The Quran brought to the world new words and new names. For example, the word Quran used for the word of Allah was a new name. Nobody had ever heard of this word before. Tika, the word Quran. And it is a word from the Arabic language, but nobody had named something with this name. Even the word Furqan, named for the Quran. And these people bring an example of the, try to bring something equivalent to the Quran, yet they are still using the word Furqan, which is the word used by Allah for the Quran. Tika? So that clearly shows, the name actually shows that it's not an equivalent of the Quran. Because they couldn't even bring a name like the name of the Quran. Tika? So, inshallah, we'll look at that next lesson, next Sunday, inshallah. Sadaqallahul Azim wa sadaqa Rasulun Nabi Amin al-Kareem. And we'll start the dars of hadith. Or do you want to have a break? Do you want to have a break?
Maghrib is in about 10-15 minutes.
10-15 minutes?
Maghrib.
So we'll have a break then. Yeah. We'll have a break and inshallah we'll carry on after Maghrib Salah. Is there 10 minutes left for Maghrib?
About 10-15 minutes.
Okay, we'll look at one hadith and after one hadith we'll break, so that if anybody needs to do wuzu, you can go and do wuzu and then we'll carry on. Okay, the chapter of Iman. Anybody remember the last hadith we studied?
Was it Halawatul Iman?
We in the last lesson we started with the hadith regarding the halawatul iman, the sweetness of iman. Tika? Anybody remember the three attributes you have to possess to receive the sweetness of iman?
To love for the sake of Allah only.
Yeah, that's one of them. That when you love somebody, may it only be for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And
your desire becomes that of the Sharia.
Yeah. You must love Allah and the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam more than anybody else. Okay? Which would simply mean that your desires would become in accordance to the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tika? So you would wish to do everything that Allah has commanded and you would find pleasure in it. And you would find displeasure in doing anything which Allah and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam believed to be makruh, disliked. That would mean that you find Allah and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam more beloved than anybody else. We also studied the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that none of you is a believer until I become more dearer to him than anybody else. Tika? And we also heard a hadith that there is no iman without believing in the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Tika? So if somebody believes in Allah, then that is not enough to be a believer. Tika? You have to believe in the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And if you don't believe in the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then you are not a believer. And we also learned that that person who does not love the Ansar, he is not a complete believer. Tika? There is fault in his belief and he is his iman is not complete. So what are the Ansar? Who are the Ansar?
Sahaba.
The Sahaba Ikram. Which specific Sahaba Ikram are the Ansar? The Sahaba Ikram who were the residents of Madinatul Munawwara, who helped the Sahaba Ikram who came from Makkatul Mukarramah. The next hadith, An Abi Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala an, is narrated from Sayyiduna Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala an. أن النبي صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم قال. سيدنا أبو هريرة رضي الله تعالى narrates that the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم said, ما من مؤمن إلا وأنا أولى به في الدنيا والآخرة. There is not one believer, but I am more dearer to him, I am more closer to him, I am more nearer to him in this world and in the Akhirah. اقرأوا إن شئتم. Recite if you wish the verse of the Quran in which Allah says, النبي أولى بالمؤمنين من أنفسهم. The Prophet is more nearer to the believers than their own selves. This is a verse of the Quran. فأيما مؤمن مات. Thus, whichever believer passes away, وترك مالا, and leaves behind wealth, فَلْيَرِثْهُ عَصَبَتُهُ مَنْ كَانُ, then his inheritors will inherit the wealth that he has left behind, whoever they are. وَمَنْ تَرَكَ دَيْنًا, and he who leaves behind a debt, أَوْ ضَيَاعًا, or he leaves behind children that are dependent, فَلْيَأْتِنِي, then they should come to me. فَأَنَا مَوْلَاهُ, I am his mawla, I am his helper. In this hadith, it is a tafsir of the verse, النَّبِيُّ أَوْلَى بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ مِنْ أَنْفُسِهِمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran says that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is closer and nearer to every single believer more than their own selves. Okay? So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is nearer to us. To the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we are so dear to him. We are extremely dear to him that he finds us more dearer than we find ourselves more dear to us. He loves us more than we love our own selves. He loves us more than our own parents and our own family members love us. He sallallahu alaihi wasallam loves us more, and he is more nearer to us than our own selves. Which means he is nearer to us than our own jugular veins. Who the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is a hadith from Bukhari Sharif. So Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala says that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says to us, to the Sahaba ikram, that there is no believer but that I am closer to him than his own self. And if you wish, if you don't believe me, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that read, if you wish, the verse of the Quran where Allah says, أَوْلَى بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَحِيمًا مِنْ أَنفُسِهِمْ. That النَّبِيُّ أَوْلَى, the Prophet is nearer and closer to the believers than their own selves. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam then says that when a person dies, he leaves behind his family, and from amongst them is his mawla. The mawla is the one who takes responsibility of everything. The janazah salah, the burial, and all of that, the mawla is the one who has to do all of that. If he leaves behind children who have nobody to care for them, then the Mawla is responsible for them. If he leaves behind a debt he needs to pay back to somebody, before he pays it back he dies, then the Mawla is now responsible for it. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that when a person leaves behind wealth, I don't desire it. That can go to the inheritors. But when a person dies and he leaves behind children who need somebody to take care, and leaves behind a debt that he needs to pay back, but he has nobody there to do it for him, then I am his mawla. Then bring the debt to me, bring the children to me, I will look after them, I will give that debt back for him. Who would do that for another? Only one who finds you most dear. In this world today, from what we've seen, it is only your closest friend that would do that for you, or it is your family members who would do that for you. But here, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is showing to you that I love you more than anybody else. So bring it to me, I will give that debt back for you, and I will look after your children for you. And this is not only for this dunya, but also for the Akhirah, on the Day of Judgment. On the Day of Judgment, when you come in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you have a debt that has not been paid off, then take it to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Take it to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And remember, this is the day of judgment where your own family will not recognize you. They will, but they won't. They'll recognize you that this was my brother, but he won't want to know you there anymore. They will recognize you that this is my daughter, my son, this is my father, but they won't want to know it. They won't want to know you anymore. They will walk over you if they have to, stamp on you if they have to, but they will not recognize you, they will not help you. On that day, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, if you have a debt that has not been paid off, bring it to me, I will pay it off for you. If you have children that you left behind and they are against you because you did not leave anything behind and it is being used against you, bring it to me. I will make sure that is wiped away from you. He sallallahu alaihi wasallam is simply more dearer. He finds us more dearer to himself than we are dearer to our own friends and family. He sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we mean more to him than we mean to anybody else. Theek hai? He loves us more than anybody else loves us. Sadaqa Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We'll carry on with the next hadith after Salatul Maghrib, inshallah.
Ya Allah. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا أطيعوا الله وأطيعوا الرسول صدق الله العظيم وصدق النبي الأمين الكريم.
Any questions that somebody needs to ask about the tafsir session? No. Okay, what we just heard a hadith that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam loves us more than anybody else loves us. Okay, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is closer to us and nearer to us than our own selves. Hadith number eight, narrated by Sayyidina Anas ibn Malik radiallahu ta'ala an. And this hadith number 8, similar hadith is mentioned in Bukhari Sharif, Muslim Sharif, and this hadith is from Mishkat al-Masabih. Sayyidina Anas ibn Malik radiallahu ta'ala narrates. He says, قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ تَعَلَىٰ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ وَعَلَىٰ آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ وَسَلَّمُ. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِذَا كَانَ يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ مَا جَنَّاسُ بَعْضُهُمْ فِي بَعْدِ. When the Day of Judgment occurs, the people will emerge into other people. Emerge into other people, meaning they will mix into other groups. Everybody will be in one big group which is mixed of all different races, all different people, different genders. Everybody will be all mixed in together. And everybody will be in one group. فَيَقُولُونَ They will say, they will come. فَيَأْتُونَ آدَمَ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ. So everybody is mixed into this one big group and they will come to Sayyiduna Adam alayhi salam. فَيَقُولُونَ اِشْفَ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ. They will say to Sayyiduna Adam alayhi salam that اِشْفَ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ. Intercede or perform intercession, intercede for us in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the court of your Lord. Ishfa ila rabbik, do shafa'ah in the court of your Lord. Fayaqulu lastu laha. Sayyiduna Adam alayhi salam will say, lastu laha, I am not for this. Yani I cannot do shafa'ah. وَلَكِنْ عَلَيْكُمْ بِإِبْرَاهِيمِ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ فَإِنَّهُ خَلِيلُ اللَّهِ. But, however, upon you, meaning you should go to Sayyiduna Ibrahim alayhi salam, for verily he is Khalilullah, he is the friend of Allah. Sayyiduna Adam alayhi salam will say this. Now this day of judgment is known as the final hour, the final day. And a day to us today is not how long the Day of Judgment will be. It will be far more longer. Theek hai? One day will be like 50,000 years. Theek hai? It will be, there's different narrations. One day will be like far more, many years. Theek hai? And on that day of judgment, the sun will be extremely close. The sun will be extremely close and it will be extremely hot. The floor will be made of copper. Theek hai? So the heat will be extreme. And people will be drowning in their own sweat, in accordance to their sins. People will be worried, people will not know what to do, people will be running from one place to another, not knowing where they are going. Their brains will boil, people's tongues will become dry, to such an extent that they'll become like a thorn, and some of them will fall out of their mouths, because there will be no water. And people will never have faced such a difficult time. People will never have experienced such calamity that has come upon them. That is how it will be on the Day of Judgment. People will disregard all their friends and their family members. They will not recognize them because they will be so troubled due to the troubles of the Day of Judgment. And there will be specific people who will be in the shade of Allah, who will be away from the troubles, who won't find any hardship, the awliya-i-kiram, the pious people, and those that are beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will be protected from all this difficult, from all these difficult times, difficulties. So, in this difficult time, the kuffar, the non-believers, will struggle so much, to such an extent, that they will say, that, oh Allah, throw us in the fire of hell if you must, but take us out of here because we cannot bear this anymore. That is how hard it will be on the Day of Judgment. That is how hard it will be on the Day of Judgment. That they will think to themselves that the fire of hell is easier than this. That's how hard it will be on the Day of Judgment. So on that day, after so much struggle, running around, people will come together and they will mix amongst each other, and they will all go to Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam and say, oh Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam, do intercession for us. And this will be the Muslims and the non-Muslims, the believers and the non-believers, all of them, all the creation, all the humans, all the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. According to one narration, even the animals, all the other creations, insects, and every single creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be present on that day. They will all go through judgment, and after judgment Allah will make them disappear, and they will become fana. They will not exist anymore. Theeka? So everybody will come to Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam, and Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam will say, Lastu laha, I am not for it. Go to Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, for verily he is the friend of Allah, he is Khalilullah. Fayatuna Ibrahim. So the people will come to Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam. Fayaqulu, and he will say, Lastu laha, I am not for this. Walakin alaykum bi Musa alayhi salam, fa innahu kalimullah. But however, you should go to Sayyiduna Musa alayhi salam, for he is verily the kalimullah. Kalim meaning the one who spoke to Allah, or the one whom Allah spoke with, the one who Allah did kalam with. So he is kalimullah, Allah blessed him with kalam. So go to Sayyiduna Musa alayhi salam. Fayatuna Musa fayaqulu lastu laha. People will come to Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, and Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam will say, Lastu laha, I am not for this as well. Walakin alaykum bi Isa alayhi salam, fa innahu ruhullah wa kalimatuhu. However, you should go to Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam, for he is the ruhullah, the soul of Allah, wa kalimatuhu, and the kalima of Allah. The kalima that Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam spoke and blew into the womb of Sayyida Maryam radiallahu anha. It refers to that you are the Ruhullah and you are the Kalimatullah. So go to Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam, for he is the Ruhullah and he is the Kalimatullah. Fayatuna Isa, so the people will come to Isa, fayaqulu, Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam will say, Lastu laha, I am not for this as well. Alayhimu salam. All the Anbiya kiram will say that today the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is on such a level that we have no option but to remain quiet. And we cannot ask for intercession, we cannot intercede, we cannot do shafa'at for anybody. Theek hai? So this will be the state of people. And in this there are a few Anbiya-i Kiram mentioned, and in other narrations there are other Anbiya-i Kiram also mentioned, that people will go to all these different Anbiya-i Kiram. And Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam, when he says, "Lastu laha," I am not for this, Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam will say, "Walakin alaykum bi Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam," but upon you, or but however upon you is Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, meaning it is necessary upon you to go to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's what he says. That's what alaykum means. So everybody will come to Sayyidina Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the narrator. He is the one who is narrating this. So he says, "Fayatuni," so the people will come to me. "Faakulu," and I will say, "Ana laha," and he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will say, "I am the one for this." Theek hai? So Sayyidina Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will say, show to everybody that you have been to every other prophet. There is nobody else for you today. There is nowhere else that you can go. You are struggling and you have come to me. I am the only one. I am the only one that can help you today. So he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that I will say, "Ana laha, fa'asta'adhinu ala rabbi," and I will seek permission from my Lord. "Fayu'dhanu li," and permission will be granted to me. "Wayulhimuni mahamida ahmaduhu biha, la tahduruni al-an," and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will descend or reveal in my mind words of praise through which I have never praised Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with. "La tahduruni al-an," they are not present in my mind at the moment. And when we say hadir in your mind, it means it's at the front of at the front of your head, meaning present for you to speak it now. So what it means is that it is there in the mind of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but not at the front of the mind, present for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to inform others that these are the words. So them words will be reminded to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the Day of Judgment. Or it means that it is not present in the mind of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but on the Day of Judgment Allah will give the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam the knowledge of them words. But the preferred opinion is that they are present but not at the front of the mind. So Allah will reveal in the mind of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam words of praise through which the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam will praise Allah with. "La tahduruni al-an," they are not present in my mind at the moment. "Fa'ahmaduhu bitilka al-mahamid," I will praise Allah with these praiseful words. "Wa'akhiru lahu sajida," and I will fall on my knees and fall in sajda for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. "Fayaqulu," Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, "Ya Muhammad, irfa' ra'sak," O Muhammad, raise your blessed head. "Waqul tusma," and speak, you will be listened to. "Wasal tu'ta," and ask, you will be given. "Washfa tushafa," and do shafa'ah, your shafa'ah will be accepted. "Fa'akulu," I will say, "Ya Rabbi," O my Lord, "Ummati, ummati," my ummah, my ummah. What does that mean? "Irhamhum wa ighfar lahum." وَإِغْفِرْ لَهُمْ, meaning be merciful towards my ummah and forgive my ummah. That's what the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam will mean when he says, "Ummati, ummati." And as we know already, that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he came into this world, on his lips were the words, "Ummati, ummati," my ummah, my ummah. When he went on Mi'raj, when he would worship at night, when he passed away, when he was being lowered into the grave, whilst he's in his grave, all the time the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has always been, "Ummati, ummati, ummati," my ummah, my ummah. That's all he has been worried about. And that's why it is clear that he sallallahu alaihi wasallam verily is more close and nearer to us than our own selves. He loves us and cares for us more than we care and love for ourselves. So he sallallahu alaihi wasallam on that day, prostrating in the court of Allah, where Allah will say, raise your head, speak and ask. Everything will be given to you. And he will say, Ummati, Ummati, Ummati. At the time when everybody is thinking about themselves, Nafsi, Nafsi, Nafsi will be on the tongue of everybody. I am worried about myself, I am worried about myself, I am worried about myself. He, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on his lips will be Ummati, Ummati, Ummati. Theek hai? So even, this is why Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala says, ke وہ جہنم میں گیا جو ان سے مستغنی ہوا. He has gone into the fire of hell who has become مستغنی from the Prophet Muhammad صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم, meaning he who becomes independent from the Prophet Muhammad صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. He doesn't find himself dependent on the Prophet Muhammad صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم, then he will go into the fire of hell. The only people that will go into Jannah are those who depend on the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If you remain dependent on him sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then you will go to Jannah. So wo jahannam mein gaya jo unse mustaghni hua hai khalilullah ko hajat rasulullah ki. And Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala says, you have to remain dependent on the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, otherwise you will go to the fire of hell, up to the extent that even khalilullah Sayyiduna Ibrahim alayhi salam is dependent on the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on that day. When everybody will be saying nafsi, nafsi, and he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam alone will say ummati, ummati, ummati. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after hearing the word ummati on the lips of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah will say, intaliq, go. فَأَخْرِجْ مَنْ كَانَ فِي قَلْبِهِ مِثْقَالُ شَعِيرَةٍ مِّنْ إِيمَانٍ. Go and take every person who has a grain of barley size amount of iman in his heart. If anybody has that much amount of iman in his heart, then take him and take him out of the fire of hell, if he has been entered into the fire of hell, or if he is going to be entered into the fire of hell, then you can take him from wherever you find him. Take him and enter him into eternal bliss, into paradise, into Jannah. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, فَأَنْطَلِقُ. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives me this permission, then I will go. فَأَفْعَلُ, and I will do this. And I will find everybody who has one bit of iman, who died with iman, whether even a very weak iman, small amount of iman left in his heart, no matter how weak it is, I will take him and I will put him into Jannah. ثُمَّ عُودُ. After I have done that, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, I will return فَأَحْمَدُهُ بِتِلْكَ الْمَحَامِدِ, and I will praise Allah with the very same words that I praised Allah with before. ثُمَّ أَخِرُّ لَهُ سَاجِدًا, and I shall fall on my knees in sajda. فَيُقَالُ, and it will said, يَا مُحَمَّد, O Muhammad, اِرْفَعْ رَأْسَكَ وَقُلْتُ اسْمَا وَسَلْتُعْتَ وَشْفَعْتُ شَفَّ, that O Muhammad, raise your head and ask and speak, you will be listened to, and ask, you will be given to, you will be granted, and perform shafa'a, intercession, your intercession will be accepted. فَأَقُولُ, I will say, يَا رَبْ, O my Lord, يَا رَبِّي, أُمَّتِي, أُمَّتِي. Again he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will again say, my ummah, my ummah. فَيُقَالُ, it will be said, انطلق, go. فَأَخْرِجْ مَنْ كَانَ فِي قَلْبِهِ مِثْقَالُ ذَرَّةٍ أَوْ خَرْدَلَةٍ مِّنْ إِيمَانٍ. Go and take those who have in their heart the amount of iman same as the size of a sesame seed. خَرْدَلَة means a sesame seed. ذَرَّة, a ذَرَّة is, you know, when you see the light shining, the sunlight shining, and you see particles of dust. Then particles of dust is what you call a ذَرَّة. So that amount, and a sesame seed amount of iman anybody has in their heart, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, take them with you. So he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will go and he will take them. He says, فَأَنْطَلِقُوا فَأَفْعَلُوا. He says that I will go and I will do this. ثُمَّ عُودُ, then I will return. فَأَحْمَدُهُ بِتِلْكَ الْمَحَامِدِ, and I will praise Allah with them praiseful words. ثُمَّ أَخِرُّ لَهُ سَاجِدًا, then I will fall on my knees and I will do sajda. فَيُقَالُ It will be said to me, يَا مُحَمَّدُ إِرْفَعْ رَأْسَكَ O Muhammad, raise your head. وَقُلْ تُسْمَعْ And speak, you will be listened to. وَصَلْ تُؤْطَى And ask, you will be granted. وَشْفَعْ تُشَفَّى And do shafa'ah, your shafa'ah will be accepted. فَأَقُولُ I will say, يَا رَبِّي أُمَّتِي أُمَّتِي O my Lord, my Ummah, my Ummah. Do you see how the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is still not satisfied when there is anybody that is from amongst his Ummah that has been left out? فَيُقَالُ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, انطلق, go, فَأَخْرِجْ مَنْ كَانَ فِي قَلْبِهِ أَدْنَى 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 مِثْقَالِ حَبَّةٍ حَبَّةِ خَرْدَلَةٍ مِنْ إِيمَانٍ Go and take whoever has the least amount of iman in his heart. Even that person who has the least amount of iman, meaning anybody who has even the slightest bit of iman in their hearts, take them with you. فَأَخْرِجْهُ مِنَ النَّارِ And take them out of the fire of hell. فَأَنْتَلِقُوا I will go. فَأَفْعَلُوا And I will do this. This is the hadith. صَدَقَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from amongst those who receive the shafa'ah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. From this hadith we learn how much the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam loves and cares for us. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will do everything he can on that day of judgment to take every one of us into Jannah and remove us from the fire of hell. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will not be satisfied until there is even one person left out who has even a little bit of iman. Tika, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the day of judgment will be working so hard for us. And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam doesn't need to do this. He doesn't have to do this. But he does this because he loves us so much. And on that day, it shows when nobody will care for us, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will. And not only that, when nobody wants to do anything for us, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will do everything for us. In this hadith, that's what we've learned. And other than that, there is the word Ya Muhammad here. Ya Muhammad, to say Ya Muhammad is not permissible. Tika? It is not permissible because it's not from amongst the respect of calling upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If you look through the whole Quran, nowhere has Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said Ya Muhammad. Tika? Because Muhammad is the name of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and to call somebody by their name is disrespectful. Tika? So for example, my father's name is Dawood. I would not call him Ya Dawood, O Dawood. Because I would call him O Father. Tika, O my beloved father. You have to call people who have respect or are elder than you by their titles. Tika, so you call your mother by the word mother. You call your father by the word father, not by their names. If you know an alim, then you call them Hazrat or you call them whatever their title is, but not by their name. Tika? You won't go to Nur Masjid and say, Oh Yunus, come here. Tiga? You won't say that because he's a scholar. You don't say that you use their titles. You would show some respect. In the same way here, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's name is Muhammad. So you can't say Ya Muhammad. You will always say Ya Rasulallah, Ya Nabiyallah, Ya Nurallah, Ya Sayyidi, Ya Sanadi. Tiga? All these are the titles for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Even Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not called the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by his name. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Tika? In the Quran, Allah has used other ways of invoking the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Like, Ya Yuhal Muzzammil and other words, Muddathir. Tika? And words like that. So, why is it that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said this? So the answer to that is because he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself is saying, Tika? He has the right to say it. Ya Muhammad. That Allah will say Ya Muhammad. What he means to say is that Allah will call, Allah will invoke me and bring my attention towards it by saying Ya Muhammad. Or him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala might say Ya son, Ya Nabiyyi, O my Prophet, or Ya Habibi. Tika? But Ya Muhammad is the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying it for himself. It is not anybody else saying it to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Any questions on this hadith?
I read somewhere that, you know, some Sahabis in war said, "Ya Muhammad," when they were going to, you know, and there's a hadith where he says that you remember the person that you love the most, and he said, "Ya Muhammad."
Yeah, that they didn't say "Ya Muhammad." It was "Ya Muhammada." Tika? And that is an invocation of a person when he's in pain. When somebody is in pain and he's remembering somebody, not calling that person to drag his attention towards him. You say, "Ya Muhammada." Tika? And where the Sahaba Kiram decided to announce the Prophet ﷺ's name in order to separate themselves from the people of Musaylimah bin Kadhab, Musaylimah Kadhab, was because they believed in Musaylimah as a prophet after the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, and the Sahaba only believed in Muhammad ﷺ. So that invocation was not to bring the attention of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ towards them, but it was to differentiate between the followers of Musaylimah and the followers of Muhammad ﷺ. So the prohibition is when you are calling upon the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ to bring his attention towards you. That's when it's disrespectful. Otherwise, when somebody's beloved passes away and the person remembers that beloved person, then he just screams that name, not with the intention of calling that person, knowing that that person can't hear it, but you're just remembering them, doing the dhikr of them. Tika, like Juliet says, "Oh Romeo, oh Romeo." Tika, although he's not around and she knows he can't hear. Tika, so this is the example of somebody who is beloved and is missing, not present, but you're remembering them and you're doing their dhikr. So that is called dhikr of somebody, not invocation. Does that make sense? Do you understand that? Does that answer the question? Any other questions?
What about in Nature?
Even in Nature, if you're not allowed to say "Ya Muhammad," it's not permissible. You say "Ya Rasulullah." If you just use the word Muhammad on its own, just Muhammad, then that's fine. For example, Mufti Azam Hind Alayhi Rahma, in one of his naats, he says, "Muhammad Mumajjad Pukara Karu Main." That's in dhikr, in remembrance. Dame Vaapasi Tak, Tere Geet Gao. He's not calling on the Prophet ﷺ to bring his attention towards it. The reason why this was prohibited, in the Quran, there's a verse, "Fala Taj'alu Dua Rasuli Ka Duai Ba'dikum Ba'da." Do not call upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. La tajalu du'a Rasul. Do not call upon the messenger in the same way as you call upon each other. So we call upon each other by our names. For the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we shouldn't call upon him in the same manner. And in the same way, the sabab nuzul of this verse says that the Sahaba Kiram used to call upon another person whose name was Muhammad, because people kept their name as Muhammad. And when they called "Ya Muhammad," and they meant to call somebody other than the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what would happen is the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam would turn around and ask, "How can I help you?" Tika, "I am here and I have it." And they would say, "Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not you, I was calling him." So they were calling somebody else. And it was the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam that when somebody called upon him, he would completely turn towards them. So that he is giving all his attention to them. And he would do that when somebody called upon Muhammad. And then they said that, "It is not you. I am calling the other man whose name is Muhammad." Then this was disrespectful. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cannot bear such against the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, about the Prophet. Even the slightest bit of tanqis in the shan of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So although it's not disrespectful, but it lowers the shan, it brings naqs in the shan of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then Allah does not even accept that. So Allah made it prohibited for us to call upon the name of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Tika? And this is not only this has been written by the pious predecessors, Sheikh Yusuf Nabhani rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, also passed this fatwa. Imam Ahmad Azhar radiallahu ta'ala has also written on this. Tika, so even in that shape, it's not permissible. Aur koi sawal? Bas, inshallah, we shall carry on next session next Sunday. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept this mahfil. May Allah reward those people who have attended, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward the people of this home who has provided this place for us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give them plenty of blessings and plenty of barakah in the knowledge, in the amal, in the blessings that they have received, and may they receive more blessings from Allah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase their provision, their wealth, their knowledge, their wisdom. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant them success in both the worlds. Allahumma rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas samiul alim wa tub alayna innaka antat tawwabur rahim. Allahumma rabbana ighfir lana dhunubana wa kaffir 'anna sayyi'atina wa tawaffana ma'al abrar. Allahumma rabbana ighfir lana. Allahumma rabbana آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. اللهم ربنا أفرغ علينا صبرا وثبت أقدامنا وانصرنا على القوم الكافرين. اللهم ربنا أقمنا على مذهب أهل السنة والجماعة، وإذا توفيتنا فتوفنا عليها. اللهم ربنا إنا نسألك علما نافعا ورزقا واسعا وعملا متقبلا. آمين يا رب العالمين. اللهم ربنا أوصل ثواب ما قرأنا من القرآن وما سمعنا من القرآن وما سمعنا من ذكرك وذكر حبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم إلى روح سيدنا ونبينا مولانا محمد المصطفى عليه أفضل الصلاة وأكمل التسليم وبوسيلته إلى روح جميع الأنبياء والمرسلين وإلى جميع الصحابة وأهل بيته العظام وأزواجه المطهرات وأمهات المؤمنين وإلى روحي جميع التابعين من تابعهم إلى يوم الدين وإلى جميع أوليائك يا رب العالمين وعلماء ملة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وإلى جميع أقاربنا من ماتوا من هذه الدنيا يا رب العالمين. تقبل منا يا رب العالمين، ارحمهم وأعطيهم ثواب هذه الجلسة. آمين يا رب العالمين. بجاه حبيبك العظم سيدنا ونبينا مولانا محمد مصطفى عليه أفضل الصلاة وأكمل التسليم. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا ونبينا مولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، وسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله رب العالمين.